So if it is the humidity, right, how come no one ever says, I'm really humid? Well, what do you know?
Welcome to an encore performance of Michael Feldman's What Do You Know? From Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International. That's John Tulin on piano, Jeff Hammond on bass, with Jim Packard announcing. Join us as Michael visits with Oliver and Ellie, the Lake Geneva Mail Jumpers. A salute to Greenfield, Massachusetts, and the What Do You Know quiz. Support for What Do You Know comes from PRI affiliate stations and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
Now, the man who didn't want to go to the darn wedding anyway, Michael Feldman.
You know, hey, it's almost mythological. The leaping children, leaping teens, who leap into the lake for the benefit of millionaires, for the pleasure and amusement of millionaires in Wisconsin. You've heard about these stories for years. Now, it's ostensibly to deliver mail, but really it's for the amusement of some very wealthy people who live at their mansions at Lake Geneva, which is in Wisconsin, but somehow it's filled with people from Illinois. Rich people from Illinois, they go to be, because they're even richer when they come to Wisconsin, comparatively. So, and Lake Geneva, well, it's beautiful, of course. And, the story is here now, it's a U.S. Postal Service. It says it's the only mail delivery like this in the nation. It goes by boat, and they hire teenagers who really need the work to leap into the water and splash their way up to the docks of rich people who sometimes lock their mailboxes just to be extra mean. And then they have to get back on the boats before they drown. And it's very amusing if you're wealthy enough. But we have two of them here with us today, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to demonstrate for you right now. Two of the leapers right now will leap for your pleasure into our waiting pond to deliver the office cards. Yes, into my mailbox. And I'm not even rich. Have a seat. That's how they do it. You don't have to be rich to enjoy this kind of thing. Hi, how you doing?
I'm doing good.
Now, we have, I'm sorry, your names are?
Ellie.
Ellie and?
Oliver.
Ellie and, you're Oliver, you were Oliver Pringle?
Yep.
You were widely quoted Oliver Pringle. Have you got a little feedback on some of the?
Yeah, it's been really funny seeing how far this has actually spread. It's kind of an interesting first year of work.
Yeah. Is this like your first regular job?
Very first.
Yeah. It's, you know, where do you go from here, really? This is good preparation. What can you do after you master leaping out of a boat into somebody's mail? Why do they do this?
It's just a tradition that they've had for a long time. I mean, it used to be a necessity. Now people just do it for fun. You know how many people ask, though, well, what do people do in the winter? How do they get their mail?
Yeah.
Well, the cars still run in the winter.
Yeah. So you don't skate over the ice for their amusement?
No.
Is it true that they do sometimes lock their mail or put furniture on the dock so you can't get? Does that happen?
Sometimes they add some challenges for you, like maybe rubber banding the mailboxes so it's a little tougher to open, or putting some chairs in the way. It just makes it more fun for the people on the boat.
Yeah. How deep is that? Is this like landing at Normandy or something? How deep is the water when you hop out of that boat?
Oh, we don't jump in the water.
No, you don't.
No.
No.
We jump onto the dock, but I mean...
You do. But you must miss the dock.
If you
so
miss
often.
The dock, yeah, usually it's pretty deep there.
Have you missed the dock, Ellie?
Once or twice.
Once or twice?
Not yet.
Not yet? They love to see their mail floating around. All those checks. All those checks and all those coupons they get on their stocks, you know, floating around there. Nothing a rich guy likes more. But actually, don't you have family who has a place there?
I do.
Yeah.
I'm a sixth generation summer resident up at the lake.
Sixth generation?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you're delivering your own mail?
I am.
That's kind of weird.
Yeah, I told my dad if I'm actually putting it in the mailbox, somebody else is going to have to take it out, because otherwise I'll just put it in my backpack and bring it home.
Yeah. What about email? I haven't heard of email. You have to jump off the boat with their laptops or something, too. it's, it gets a little out of hand or something like that. And how many boxes do you, or how many docks do you deliver?
There's 60 on a busy day.
There's 60 all around the lake?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you this is your first job, too?
This is my second job.
What was the first one?
I used to work at a gymnastics place, and I was the gopher. So if someone peed or had other accidents, I was a cleanup girl.
Okay. So you're building quite a resume.
Oh, yeah.
Will clean pee or jump in water for money or whatever, and deliver mail. And so it's just for the summer?
Yeah.
So what do they do, in like September 1st to get their mail?
It goes like June 15th to September 15th, and then it starts going to their road address.
Oh, okay.
In the summer, they change it to their pier address, and then as soon as September rolls around, they start getting it by their road again.
Yeah. So this is purely for their amusement, really.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And for the people on the, because they, don't they sell tickets on the boat to watch you guys try and do this?
Yeah.
Yeah. So how many people are on the, she's shocked to hear that. Are there a bunch of people on the boat? Or?
You can fit 150 on the boat. It's a 75-foot long boat. It's not a little speed boat.
Uh-huh.
And there's a rail along the edge that you stand on, then you jump off, and then hopefully catch the rail at the back end and shimmy up back to the front.
Yeah. You ever get in a situation where the dock isn't there this spring? The dock that used to be there, they didn't put up?
Usually we don't have to go then, but I mean...
But nobody noticed.
Yeah, nobody
sometimes
noticed.
They don't put up their docks. They don't feel like that's a lot of work putting up a dock and all that stuff. Are the people grateful? Are they allowed? Do they tip or they remember you at Christmas?
There's one lady who actually leaves cookies in her mailbox for us. So it's kind of as an exchange.
Yeah. Do you ever eat them or are they kind of?
Yeah. Where did they go this year? They were gone in like 2 days this year. I noticed.
Yeah.
I've gotten them.
Because women will leave cookies for you. Iffy. It's usually iffy because summer. Well, that's pretty good. Right in the middle of it right now, this is kind of your heyday. And so how many kids are doing this all together?
Four or five now. Mm-hmm.
Four or five?
Yeah.
And how do you divide up the workload?
Depends on when you're scheduled.
We let the boss take care of that.
Okay, so there's just two on the boat at any given time or one?
There's a captain, the jumper, and then someone that's a crew member.
Yeah. Is that officially your title, your mail service jumper?
Yep.
And you get it. Is there any, this goes on your job record.
Yep.
Were you working for the Postal Service?
We're actually what they call is a star route, so we work for the cruise line, but we're just kind of used by the Postal Service, basically.
Yeah. Are you ever attacked by water dogs? A lot of them have those fancy water dogs. That ever happen to you?
No? Not me. How about you?
Not yet.
Yeah. Wait, anything amusing happened recently, Mr. Pringle?
Actually, the one time that I almost fell in, I was actually coming back, and I slipped on some seagull poop on the dock, and I was this close to falling
OSHA.
In the water.
OSHA. O-S-H-A. Remember those four letters, OSHA. You got a claim there. It's really nice to meet you guys. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
Making the news nationally, making Wisconsin proud, ladies and gentlemen, even though they're probably from Illinois, for all we know. Thank you, dear. Thanks, Ellen. Thank you, Oliver. The Jumpers, ladies and gentlemen. We can get rid of this wading pool, I guess, because you don't even go in the water most of the time. That's pretty darn good there. And it made the New York Times, so we feel pretty good about that. Jumper.
Yeah.
Did you ever have a job like that for a summer job?
No.
That's like they used to lure kids down ropes in the mines and stuff, And it's one of those nice little summer jobs that you can get.
Deliver their lunch or something, the miners' lunch?
Yeah, that's what they did.
Yeah.
They brought the little pots down there and food.
No, I never did that.
Yeah. Mm-mm. Okay, so you? How are you?
I'm good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What's new?
Good.
Anything?
No, not much.
No? Yeah?
Not much.
So Jeff,
much.
You okay?
I'm good. Oh, yeah. Jeff has a gig this week at the Jazz Showcase in Chicago coming up Wednesday through Sunday, Thursday through Sunday with Charles McPherson.
Oh, Charles McPherson.
Yeah. Charles McPherson Quartet. So.
Yeah. Sounds really good. And you have what coming up?
I have a little party next weekend.
You do?
Yeah.
Can we come?
No.
Is it Clinton related at all?
I'm not sure.
The offshoot party?
I'm not sure. I didn't book it, so.
Okay.
I just show up.
Friends of Bill, was that mentioned?
No.
Okay.
I don't think so.
All right. How about a little tune here then, gentlemen?
Yeah, this is called Mamacita.
Mamacita.
Thank you.
That works out. Okay, Mulvane, Kansas. It's about, 10 minutes, 15 minutes from Wichita in Kansas. And Larry Richardson is out there, and we'll find out, but he must be a bridge guy. You know, there are people that you meet occasionally who love bridges, the great bridges of the world, you know. And they are fascinating structures. You know, there are Brooklyn Bridge people, and, they believe that is the great. And, mm-hmm. and, of course, Golden Gate, a lot of people are Golden Gate Bridge people.
Gallup and Gertie.
What is that?
That's that bridge that all went all wacky because they designed it wrong.
And, oh, yeah, okay. Could you just talk among yourselves there? Talk to other musicians. And Larry Richardson's on the line with us, and he built the Golden Gate Bridge in Kansas, in Mulvane, Kansas, which has never been done before. And he's on the line with us right now. And Larry, how are you?
I'm just fine. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Are you a bridge guy? Are you in love with the concept of bridges? Or?
Well, yeah, I lean more toward the Golden Gate than any because it just... It's always interested me, and mm-hmm. I do like to look at all the other bridges, too, but yeah. That's my favorite.
That's your favorite. When did you first see the Golden Gate?
In 1967.
You did?
I saw it when I was in the Army, and they were taking me to Vietnam.
And you were shipping out from there?
I was shipping out from California, correct.
Uh-huh.
And I got to cross it then, and it all kind of started when I was in high school back in 67. My mm-hmm. wife now wanted to get married. We were engaged at that time.
Mm-hmm.
I said, no, I want to get my Army out of the way, and I want to get across that Golden Gate Bridge. So I joined the Army, and they took me across.
Yeah. That's going the hard way, isn't it, to get across?
That's getting the hard way. Yeah.
But it stayed in the back of your mind, as did your wife.
Right.
Yes.
And so when I got back, I married her, but I got to cross the bridge first.
Yeah. Are you from Mulvane? Is that your hometown?
Right. That's my hometown.
Yeah. And do you farm out there, or...?
No, I was a mailman out here. I worked for the post office.
That's right.
And so,
yeah, that's right. Are you still working for them? Are you retired now?
No, I retired.
Yeah.
I retired 2 years ago.
And what about the construction? I mean, have you built other large structures? Or?
No. I built our house, but that's and my wood shop, but that's the only other large structures. This is larger than any of them, though.
Yeah. You built your house in your wood shop?
Uh-huh. Actually built it out of a... The local lumberyard here had a couple of garage kits on sale, so I bought two of them and built the house out of it.
Put them together. I always wanted to do something. You know what I tried to build one time was a geodesic dome.
Ah.
Yeah, they should call them geodesic don'ts. Don't ever try. Because actually nothing fits.
There's a lot of angles there.
There's each one of them's got to be right, or you end up with a gross miscarriage of dome. We cannot. Yeah. That was a stupid idea. But this bridge is a kind of a cool idea. How did you go about it? Did you get the plans from someone with the?
No, when I was out in California, I bought a postcard of the Golden Gate.
Yeah.
And my father and I got together on it, and the Cowskin Creek runs through my place here. I own
Cowskin.
Property on both sides.
The mighty Cowskin.
And they tore down the old wooden bridge up here, and they gave me the piers off of it. So we just used my postcard, and we called it comparison engineering. It had to look like that picture. So we did it without any blueprints or any outside help. We mixed our own cement in the cement mixer and wheelbarrow.
Yeah.
We actually built our own crane to stand the towers up. So everything was hand done, and we used as much recycled material as we could get.
Yeah.
We had a... Little B. Alice Chalmers, that was the biggest piece of equipment we had mm-hmm. to pull the crane around. And everything else was either levers or winches or whatever it took.
Yeah. So it's sort of like the bridge on the River Kwai here, but it's a...
Real close to that.
Bridge on the River Cowskin.
That's correct.
Is that a mighty rushing river?
No, it's got some current to it, but it's not a rushing river by any means.
So a leaf will float down it.
grandkids like to make those little wooden boats and watch them disappear.
Is it foot traffic, or can you get a vehicle over this?
We could put a vehicle on it. We've had as much as 3 tons on it.
Yeah.
But we, for liability's sake, we necked the entries down to it so a vehicle won't go on it.
Now, and size-wise, compared to the original Golden Gate Bridge, is you know how long it is and so forth?
Mine's 150 feet long.
Yeah.
It's 25 foot tall and it's 8 foot wide.
Yeah.
And compared to the Golden Gate, it's 6,450 feet long. I'm a little smaller.
Smaller.
Yeah.
Is it pretty much to scale? Or?
We really didn't go by scale. We just knew we
by
had
thumb.
To get the other bank of the creek. So that kind of ended up the scale. That's how far we got to go.
So the object is to hit the other bank of the creek. And that's a good object with a bridge.
Right. You know, if we fell short, we knew it would get wet.
Yeah. So did you have to actually go in the water there and play? And
no, we never got in the water. We did it all off the suspended cables and a footbridge. We had to build an auxiliary footbridge to get back and forth. And then once we got the cables suspended, we actually hung off of those to work on it.
Yeah. How high in the air would you be on something like that?
Off the water, we're 15 to 20 foot off the water on a normal day. So at the high point of the bridge.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the cables are higher yet off that. So you would be, at the ends, you were up to 25, 30 feet in the air.
Okay. So we're talking dizzying heights.
Yeah. You didn't want
to
look up and watch the clouds because they would make you dizzy.
And now it's a big tourist attraction. People come from all over to...
We have had, surprisingly enough, it besides being in the New York Times article, NBC Today Show did an article on it about 10 years ago, and a local station did an article on it. So it surprisingly, the amount of people who have come to see it.
Yeah. That's kind of a big gap, though, between the original one, and then some guy from the New York Times showed up there just recently.
Right, just the past week.
Yeah.
And so it was...
Salzburger.
It had kind of died down, but... We did have people coming out monthly to see it.
Yeah. Has this been a life changer for you, Larry, building this bridge?
It has. It made some patients come out real quick or some angry, depending on which day it happened to be. Mm-hmm. But you learn patience with it, and then just to see it get done, it give you some self-satisfaction that you could do it.
Yeah.
But we did not know we could do it when we started it.
Yeah. Have you gone on or considered other, pyramids or, other large projects?
We have talked about it, and I'm going to say mostly for financial reasons, we haven't really attempted to start another one yet.
Yeah.
But we have.
What have you talked about?
Well, trying to do a Statue of Liberty.
Oh.
That way I would have both coasts.
Yeah.
And there is a place up here that sells. You have to put it together, but they sell aluminum statues of liberties about 12 foot tall.
Yeah.
And I thought about, that'd be neat on the east end of my property. That way I'd have, because the Golden Gate Bridge is actually on the west side.
Yeah, you'd have the whole country in a short span there.
I'd have the whole country in between.
Yeah, coast to coast, right in the middle of Kansas.
That would be the idea, and I've seriously given that some thought.
Yeah.
And such. But it'll have to come in a little bit in the future yet.
Yeah.
And such.
Okay. And have you been back to the original, your original love?
No, we haven't been back, and we're going to try to go out through this next summer.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to enlarge our honeymoon trip. I was stationed out at Fort Lewis when we got married.
Uh-huh.
So we're going to go south to go back up what we called our honeymoon trip.
Uh-huh.
So we're going to go by the Golden Gate on it.
Yeah.
On this time. So that'll make it right up 43 years when we get there.
You're going to go back to Fort Lewis, too, or is that...
We will go up that way
and
such, and then come back. We'll reverse the trip the other way on a coming back as the way we did go out. We'll come back by Mount Rushmore and Devil's Tower and Yellowstone Park. That's how we went out when I was stationed there.
Yeah.
But this time we'll drop down south first and go to Golden Gate and then up and then come back through Yellowstone, Mount Rushmore, and
so she's going to get a chance to see it this time.
She's going to get to see it this time.
Sounds great, Larry.
Yeah.
A real pleasure talking with you, and best of luck to you in any future projects, and certainly on this one as well.
Well, we sure thank you.
Yeah. Larry Richardson, ladies and gentlemen, from Mulvane.
You're listening to Michael Feldman's What Do You Know? From Wisconsin Public Radio and PRI, Public Radio International.
So that it is hot, I guess, is what that comes down to. And I'm going down into the audience here to say hello to all these wonderful people who came here on this very humid day. Hi, y'all. Hi, dear. How are you?
Good.
What's new?
Nothing.
Anything going on this summer? How's your summer so far?
Hot.
Are you sure it's not humid?
I don't know.
Yeah. And you, what's your name?
Monona.
Monona?
Mm-hmm.
Really? Well, this is your terrace then.
Yeah, no.
What a coincidence. And are you from here? Or?
Yeah, I'm from Madison.
Yeah. And where do you go to school?
Online.
You're an online student?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I haven't started yet.
Oh, you have? When you get around to it, you'll be online. That's cool.
Yeah.
Got any sports or interests?
No.
Music, sports?
Just lying around.
Lying around. Okay, good. You can do that online pretty easily, I think.
Yeah.
Got a dog? That's cool. Nice to have you here. Thank you for coming. And we got also Gwen Ann Reed is here. Who? Oh, yeah, Gwen Ann. There's Gwen Ann. Right. Who asks? Gwen Ann asks, if your radio career hadn't worked out, what else would you have done? Probably my radio career. Same thing. You know? What are you going to do, really, at this point? Qualified for? Taxi. I have a taxi license. I can fall back on that.
Inspired.
What lake is the city of Avon Lake by? Is this a trick question? Kathy? Where is Kathy? There's Kathy there. Is it a trick question?
No, it's not.
No.
Is it on Lake Avon?
No, it's not on Lake Avon at all.
Oh, then why do they call it Avon Lake?
Avon, though.
Okay.
You're not going to tell me even, are you? This is very frustrating. I have no idea what it's on.
It's on Lake Erie.
Oh, it's on Lake Erie. Okay. All right, let's move on, then. That was interesting, too. And then Julia Jandro from St. Louis is here. She's a part-time seventh grader and a full-time sister aggravator. Is that true? Where is she? Okay, let's see those. Are you aggravating her right now? Even as we speak? Okay. I want to find out your technique because I have two girls and they've aggravated each other out of the house just about at this point. So that goes good. Hi, how are you?
Transplant.
Yes.
Olympics that we're here for.
Olympics in town this weekend.
Yes. We're here to support my former babysitter who has kidney transplant like 28 years ago.
Wow, wonderful, wonderful. And that's going on right now. Some of the events are going on out here?
Yes.
Excellent. Transplant going on out here. And this is Julia.
Hi.
Hi. Stand. How are you?
Good.
Is this the sister that you aggravate?
Yeah.
Do something now to aggravate her. Oh, that was the old flick cheek flick. That's pretty easy. Try something else. Oh, a little slap and a. Okay, anything that you could say that would really get her going?
No.
Don't want to do it. That's nice of you. Showing some restraint there. Does she aggravate you as well?
Sometimes, yeah.
Yeah. What? Aggravate her for a second. Oh, that was a little rougher than the little. Well, she can do that because she's bigger.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's the problem, right? Because you got a bigger sister, and you got to aggravate her. So you got to be creative. I did that with my brother Arthur. Same thing. Have you found really creative ways of getting at her?
Yeah.
Yeah. What's the best thing you did? I mean, you take her stuff or hide it or go into her room and move things around? Or?
Sometimes.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty cool. And how do you feel about your sister doing all that?
It's not fun.
And it's not amusing, is it?
Not to me.
It's not funny at all. What's your name?
Jill.
Yeah, okay. And has this been your relationship the whole time so far?
Yeah, pretty much.
And you get back at her by?
I don't know, just kind of. I'm the better person. So I get back at her by being nice.
See?
I'm just nice to her all the time, aren't I, Julia? Yeah.
So you've made your sister a better person. Unintended results, but that's a very nice thing.
Yeah.
Okay, what do we have for the Jandro sisters?
Well, we've got T-shirts advertising themselves as part-time model. It's from Ray Gun of Des Moines.
All right, whatever that means. Thank you very much. Nice to have you here. Thanks for coming. Thank you. From St. Louis. A middle school world history teacher here. Yeah, oh, that's you down front there. Okay, world history is a good thing. I never took it. I have no idea about the world myself. Can I get you to stand up? World history is a good thing, but it's a big topic.
It's a big topic for 11-year-olds.
Yeah, Or even for any age.
Well, that's true. We do ancient world. We do the foundations of civilization, culture, law, religion, and they're prepubescent.
The world is prepubescent, or the...
The children.
Oh, the children are, yeah. They're probably thinking about other things.
But they actually really enjoy learning about what makes things work and why things happen, so it's a good time in their life.
Okay, so do you get through the entire world in one semester?
Yeah, pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Sometimes Rome is built in a day.
Sometimes Rome is built in a day, ladies and gentlemen. You can't beat that. And then do you have them dress up in togas and burn things?
I do.
Yes.
I do that.
You wear the toga?
Yes.
They don't.
Well, sometimes they do.
Yeah.
Well,
and where is this? Saris too. Saris too. Yes.
Oh, hello there.
We're here for a South Asian Studies celebration, and I had gone to India through Wisconsin years ago. So I do wear saris.
Oh, excellent, excellent. You have a question for me?
Yes. I would like to know what you think is most important for young people to know about the world.
That it's pear-shaped. And not round, because I think, you know, the world is round. The world is not round. The world is pear-shaped.
That's true. Okay, I'll make sure I let them know that.
Thank you very much. Thank you. I appreciate it. World history. We're going to play the What Do You Know quiz, aren't we?
Indeed we are, Mike.
Yes, we are. Before we can do it, though, we have to know who can and cannot participate in the quiz due to legal restrictions. And who would I give that to? Yes. Can I get you to stand up here, dear? You would. And you are?
Bridget Layden.
Bridget, the four disclaimers, if you would deliver those.
Number one, all questions used on What Do You Know have been painstakingly researched, although the answers have not. Ambiguous, misleading, or poorly worded questions are par for the course. Listeners who are sticklers for the truth should get their own shows. Number two, no, the groom's great uncle and I are third cousins from Kiev. Number three, persons employed by the International House of Radio or its member stations are lucky to be working at all, let alone tying up the office phones trying to play the quiz. Listeners who have won recently should sit on their hands and let someone else have a chance for a change. Or for a change. All opinions, number four, all opinions expressed on What Do You Know are well-reasoned and insightful. Needless to say, they are not those of the International House of Radio, its member stations, or lackeys. Anyone who says otherwise is itching for a fight.
Very well done. One of the best. One of the best of all time, I thought. Let's see the hands of those of you who care to raise them to indicate an interest in playing the What Do You Know quiz. Yeah, well, you know, we have a guest here all the way from Oxford, Mississippi, and she was almost my biggest fan because she was sitting right in front of her, but she didn't get to be. So this is a makeup thing here.
Oh, thank—
How are you?
You? I'm wonderful. I've been trying to get on the quiz. I've gone three times. This is my third time to come to the show.
Yeah.
The other two were in Mississippi. So.
Oh, well, that's what's why. And your name is?
Jan Robertson from Oxford.
Jan Robertson. You don't have three names like everyone else down
there? No. My sister Mary Margaret does. But
Jan.
Yes.
One good reason you should play this quiz.
I came all the way up here, and I'm a member of Mississippi Public Broadcasting, and I really want to come here. Yes.
Well, that's three reasons. I guess that's overkill, but we'll take you anyway. Come on down here, dear. Right this way. Be careful on the steps. They are treacherous. Okay, I got you. Have a seat there if you would. I gotta do all aspects of this. We gotta drain that pool too before we get algae.
Yes.
All kinds of
mosquitoes.
Things. Jan, what field are you in down there?
Well, I'm retired from the journalism faculty at the University of Mississippi.
You are?
And I'm a volunteer. I'm state president of the Boys and Girls Clubs of Mississippi.
Well, how wonderful.
I'm a volunteer.
In journalism, what was your specific, what kind of a journalist were you?
I taught beginning reporting and feature writing.
Really? Fantastic.
Yes.
Well, that's wonderful. Do you miss that part of it? Or
I do. I enjoyed journalism. I've also been a Head Start teacher, and
you ought to try to do a little more, Jim.
I just take what jobs I can get.
Yeah, and then for
I'm a mom too. So.
And you're a mom. Yeah. And for recreation, what do you like to do?
Do
a little
garden,
catfishing.
Read,
no.
Just mainly read. Stay out in Mississippi now. Stay out of the heat. I like to read in air conditioned comfort.
Yeah. So this is like cool.
Yes, it's
here.
Cold. It was over 100 degrees when I left Mississippi yesterday. So.
And are you up here for meetings or conventions?
I went to Stevens College and it was on the newspaper staff there. Mm-hmm. My dear friend Vicki Brigham, who lives here in Madison, is getting married, and her friend Joan Collins, who was also at Stevens with me, is giving. We're having a great Gatsby engagement party tonight.
Well, it's a theme engagement.
Yes, and I have my headband with the feather in it. And
so you're a Daisy, or?
I don't. I think I've got more intelligence than Daisy did.
No, I didn't mean that. I'm trying to come up with something here.
I watched the movie, and I have something flowy, and I have a headband, and and some long curls. So.
Well, I'd like to see that, actually. That sounds kind of enticing. Well, that's great. Is it going to be a theme wedding as well? Are you going to?
I don't think it's going to be a theme wedding.
Fitzgerald's wedding?
It's going to be at the Episcopal Church here.
Uh-huh. And I understand tickets are impossible to get.
They are.
There's only 400 of them.
The security is not going to be as big as the wedding going on.
No Secret Service at this wedding.
Yes, no Secret Service.
Sounds good. Well, it's very nice to have you here. Thank you for coming.
Very nice to be here.
Coming by. We're going to play the quiz. Someone out there gets to play along with you.
This is an encore performance, so don't call today, but save your call for another time.
Here's a qualifying question. So what's the deal with Tokyo's oldest man? You probably saw this story in the news. Tokyo's oldest man made the news, but it's a bit controversial. There we got someone here from Irondequoit, New York. Is it?
Irondequoit.
Quoit. I said that. Hi, Bruce.
They know it there, the saying they're telling you too?
We've got some Irondequoitians here.
Irondequoitians, sure.
Do we? Are you from Irondequoit? Isn't that amazing? What are the odds on that?
West Irondequoit or East Irondequoit?
West Irondequoit.
Of course. All right, yeah.
Yeah, go West Irondequoit. Is this near Rhinebeck at all, or that wrong part?
No, not even close. Rochester, New York, up on Lake Ontario.
Okay, all right, okay. I just thought maybe I had a connection there. Grasping at straws, I know. And Bruce, what do you do out there in Irondequoit?
I work with computers, network administrator.
Okay, you work with them, not against them?
They tend to work against us, and I tend to work against them.
All right, so here's the story. What's the story with Tokyo's oldest man? The story made news headlines, but there's a catch.
I have absolutely no idea, but I'm going to say that it's actually a woman.
Oh, that would be a nice, worthy of O. Henry, that twist,
yes.
Don't you think? No, that's not it, though, Bruce.
All right, then. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye. Did we make it clear, Jim? You have the answer. You know
that's
the,
right.
And then you call in.
Then you call in.
You hear that, and you... we get all these I have no ideas, and I don't even know...
get those out of the
why
way
would
first.
That be? Dean's on the line from Cleveland. Hi, Dean.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good. Are you? What's going on today, Dean? Anything coming up for you?
Not too much. I'm in the parking lot at a Best Buy, so it's exciting.
Yeah, what'd you get a Best Buy on?
Nothing. I just pulled over because you're not supposed to be on the phone in this town while you're driving.
Oh, yeah, they nab you for that, huh?
Yeah.
All right, so Dean, Tokyo's oldest man, what's the hitch?
That he was dead for a while.
Yes, that's right. He's been dead for the last 30 of his 111 years, so... There was a slight hitch in his giddy-up. There was a definite hitch in his giddy-up. Yeah, they wanted to give him the prize, and he wouldn't answer the phone, and they discovered that actually... wasn't that he just died. He'd been dead for 30 years. Otherwise, he would have been a nice 111 on Sunday, I think it was. Dean, what do you do there in Cleveland?
I'm a blogger, by which I mean unemployed.
Oh, okay. That's a new name for unemployed, as a blogger. That's cool. Dean, this is Jan.
Hey, Dean.
She's up from Mississippi, joining us here from Oxford. And the two of you are a team right now, so you work together, okay?
Hey, Dean.
Cooperate?
Yes.
All right, we can do that. And Jim Packard, what are those categories?
Categories are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science, or odds and ends.
Okay. Let's start with you, Dean, since you're on the line there in the Best Buy lot. Probably want to get out of there pretty quick.
That's true. It is hot in here. Yeah. Let's go with science.
Science, okay.
Uh-oh.
All right, do the internal organs each have their own biological clock? You hear about the body clock. I want to know, do the organs, is each organ got its own clock?
Each organ?
Each organ. Internal organs. The major ones, maybe not each organ.
What do you think, Jan?
That sounds weird enough to be true.
I agree.
I'm looking at it. I think so.
You're saying
what
yes? She's saying yes.
I lean toward yes.
Yes. No, there is... That's kind of amazing, isn't it?
Got another biological clock to worry about, yeah.
There's kidney standard time. There's kidney savings time. Pancreas mean time.
Well, my knees have given out. I should have known that. I've got two replacements.
Oh, you do. Jim?
One right, no wrong.
Okay, you're on the road to fame and stardom here. So what's left there, Jim?
Current events, people, places, school, odds and ends.
Jan, what do you have?
Current events.
Current events. All right, the U.S. wants to put defensive missiles in which of the two, Czech or Slovakia?
Well, you've got the Czech, it used to be Czechoslovakia,
yeah,
so.
They divided, now it's Czech or Slovakia.
God.
Well,
looking out here.
Current events, right out of the news.
You got a 50-50 chance.
Yeah, I was just thinking the same thing.
Yeah, I think maybe Czech. Czech side.
Czech, please.
Well,
you're thinking Czech, the Czech Republic?
Let's see. Slovakia, though, I would think they might already have some in the Czech Republic.
You don't want to overthink
this,
Jan.
No, I don't want to. I'll go with Czech.
You're overthinking it a little bit there.
I'm overthinking. You're right. I'm often accused of that. So.
Dean, the Czech Republic?
Yeah,
yes,
good.
Czech Republic. They're just decorative, though. They're not really in a big deal.
That's two right and no wrong.
All right. What's left there, Jimmy?
People, places, school, odds and ends.
Dean?
School.
School, this is something you should have learned, had you been paying attention. If the hippocampus
is
not, in fact, a college for hippos, what the heck is it, the hippocampus in the brain?
Oh, I was going to say it's part of the brain.
Yeah.
Okay,
that's as much as I know.
Yeah.
Hippocampus in the brain. Responsible. What's it responsible for?
For the
it claims it isn't.
The thinking process.
That's a little general.
You
narrow it down to which part of the... I mean, the whole brain is... thinking or
some
reactions.
Some parts of the brain control your extremities and...
And some don't, yeah.
And some don't.
Yeah. Some extremities control themselves. We don't even know.
Oh, Dean, come on.
Hippocampus.
Hippocampus. Don't look it up, Dean. I'm trusting
memory,
you.
Please
is
do.
It,
memory?
Pleasure? Is it memory? You sounded... Is memory? That memory?
Yeah.
Was that?
Yeah,
okay.
Memory, I think, yes. Now that I seem to be remembering that's what it is.
All right, I guess we can accept that. It's a thumb drive for the brain. And GPS, it controls kind of where you know you are.
Yeah.
So it's your thumb drive GPS. Right, and we can accept that, can we?
Okay.
Oh, then they won.
Yay!
That's a little too easy.
They have won the quiz. And
they're
they
not
stop
having
here.
The answers. That was a little too easy, wasn't it?
They can stop here and take a prize, or they can go on and try for the mother load. They do have to answer two questions correctly from our three remaining categories. And if you get both of those, you'll feel like Suki. And if you don't, you'll feel like Miss Tookie.
Oh, okay.
I say we go for it.
I say let's go for it. I didn't come all the way up here not to go for it.
Michael, I was on your...
They're going for it. I'm sorry, Dean, you were saying?
I was on your Valentine's Day 2009 quiz.
Oh.
But I'd been trying my whole life to get on. I was so nervous, and we really blew it. We got we got as close to as losing as it's possible to get, basically. So now I'm feeling hot.
Yeah, no one ever loses, Dean. All right, so you're doing pretty well on this one. You got
to. But I didn't win the mother load, so.
Okay, you got to get them both right, Jim. What's left there?
People, places, odds and ends.
Jan, what do you have?
I guess maybe places.
Places, okay. Could be anywhere. Let's see. Yes. California is considering one of the following to raise revenues. Is it A, digital advertising on license plates? B, a liposuction tax? Or C, sale of Arnold Schwarzenegger's genetic material?
All right, in California, I would think any of those. A tax, any of those makes sense, yeah. And I've got a son who lives in California. Yeah. I would think with all the Hollywood's there, I would think a tax on liposuction.
You would think so. They could make a fortune from that.
But it seems a little extreme, doesn't it? I mean, tax.
That's true. Also, running ads on license plates.
That's a good idea.
All right, okay.
That's a heck of an idea.
All right, I'm looking.
Because who does that hurt, really?
Ads, well, yeah, okay, digital ads on license plates, huh?
Yeah.
They got a lot of cars.
Okay, California's always the first to do strange things, so, okay.
Dean, you go along with that?
I'll go with digital advertising.
Okay, that's right, it is. Digital advertising on license plates. Because they're looking in the liposuction, I'm sure. The money you made, Matt, Jim.
Four right and no wrong.
This is it then, huh?
Comes down to people or odds and ends.
People or odds and ends. It's back to
Dean.
Yeah.
I was called odds and ends.
Odds and ends, okay. Cincinnati oyster. Explain. Oh, that's from leftover from Cincinnati.
Oh, please.
By the way, it is.
Never been to Cincinnati. What
pickled pig's feet. Cincinnati oysters. All right, odds and ends. Okay, we come to look alike, but do dogs imitate our movements, the movements of the owner? In other words, does my dog Sugar do a pretty good Feldman?
Yeah. It's been my experience that they do.
They do?
Uh-huh.
And you have dogs?
I have had dogs, yes. I have a cat now, but
and you
I
find they're
grew
like,
up with dogs.
They're
yes.
mimicking you or kind of?
Yeah, they even
doing your
nod the heads if you nod. The
push their glasses back.
Yeah,
push.
But they, well.
She says yes, Dean.
That sounds right. You can teach a dog to shake hands. So in 101 Dalmatians, they all do that. So
yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
That's it. Yes, they do. They can actually imitate the movements.
Yeah.
Not at all.
Dean, you're going to live dangerously and challenge any Wisconsin statewide smoking bans by lighting up a fine cigar with a selection of 3 Dingoes and 2 Joeys, plus a Savoy cigar cutter from Kangaroo Alley Cigars. You've won Matt Pollard's Happy Birthday, excuse me, a flipbook where you can watch Sally blow out the candles, the cake, and the guests. It's from Thumb Cinema. A Poke Thulu t-shirt from John Kovalik, a Madison pin from the Monona Terrace Community and Convention Center, a poster of 10 lighthouses of southern Maine, and the CDs What Do You Know About Beethoven and What Do You Know About Copland, with liner notes both common and heroic, by Michael Feldman from Nimbus Records. Jan, you'll be able to bring home the bacon with a guy who wants to be your best bendable bacon buddy, Mr. Bendable Bacon, ready to accompany you on many adventures and teach you how to make your life meatier. It's from Archie McPhee. And you've won How to Be a Gentleman, a contemporary guide to common courtesy by John Bridges, a pooping pig keychain from Fun Zone, Iowa City, the CD Crown of the Carolinas, the Angel Share from Red Hill Records, a tin of indictments from the Unemployed Philosophers Guild, a plethora of What Do You Newt Public Radio Lives bumper stickers left over from the Newt Gingrich era, and What Do You Know the Party Game from Out of the Box Publishing, available exclusively at notmuch.com. Congratulations to both of you.
Thank you for coming and joining us. Dean, hang on. Make sure you get all that stuff.
To find out more about Michael's books, CDs, board game, and other show merchandise, click on notmuch.com.
And speaking of you, Jim.
Yes.
In case you were speaking of you. Were you? Each week at some time, not necessarily this time, we honor a town, village, or burg somewhere in the greater U.S. and arrange a map of the same. Here is Jim Packard with our Town of the Week.
The center of life in the northern Pioneer Valley of Massachusetts is the city of Greenfield. Located at the intersection of I-91 and the famous Mohawk Trail, the town's 18,000 residents live between the Connecticut, Deerfield, and Green Rivers at the foothills of the Berkshires. Greenfield is named for the Green River and is known for its quintessential American Main Street. Today, many of its historic downtown buildings are being turned into new storefronts and loft apartments. Greenfield is the seat of Franklin County and home to Greenfield Community College, the Pioneer Valley Symphony Orchestra, and the Franklin County Fair. In 2003, the city changed from a town governance to a city administration, making it the youngest city in the state. Greenfield High School students are the Green Wave, and one of those Green Wave graduates is the magician Penn Jillette. Greenfield operates the Poet Seat School, an alternative middle and high school for special needs students. Rocky Mountain Park features Poet Seat Tower. It's a 1912 sandstone observation tower named for the site's attraction to poets. They've also created the Massachusetts Virtual Academy and the Four Rivers Charter Public School. The Greenfield Energy Park is the site of the former train station and is the headquarters of the Northeast Sustainable Energy Association. The town is pursuing cutting-edge technology like siting New England's largest solar panel farm. A community that's nearly 250 years old, it's our town of the week, Greenfield, Massachusetts.
Did you mention famous people?
Like Penn Jillette?
Yeah, that's one, I guess.
That's,
but I mean, historically, like movers and shakers.
There weren't any movers and shakers that we would recognize.
Did you look for movers and shakers, Jim?
Well, they gave me a whole list, but I didn't recognize their names.
And I usually get a newspaper.
I was looking in here to see if I've got something for you.
Yeah. Well, it's a little late now, isn't it?
It is.
But usually I get, you know, the local newspaper.
Yeah.
And just
I printed
see what's
off a few things from the online version, but
left it at home?
Left it at the station.
Oh, okay. You want to run back there real quick? And
I could.
Or we could go on. We got, right now, we're calling randomly, or actually Lyle is, to Greenburg, Massachusetts, Greenfield, Massachusetts.
Green River, when you first, I thought the Green River Strangler, but that's something different. It's Greenfield.
You know when you pipe in, have something to say.
Mike, there is one thing that is very unusual about the town.
Yes, Jim. Back to
they
Jim.
They have a optical illusion known as a gravity hill.
Got that here, too.
Got that on Shelburne Road. Yeah. While facing the town, immediately after the Route 2 bridge, from under the overpass, the road appears to rise slightly to a crest a few hundred feet away. The illusion is slight but convincing. A car in neutral at the bottom of the rise will appear to crawl uphill. Very unusual.
Especially if you've been drinking on the ride there.
It's been
even more pronounced. We have someone? Yes, we do. Elaine Anderson from Greenfield, Massachusetts. So maybe fill us in a little more on the background of Greenfield. Elaine, are you there?
She's here and her husband's here also.
Okay. You would be the husband?
I would be.
Okay.
The one.
What? Your name, sir?
Ross Anderson.
Ross?
Yes.
How are you, Ross? Good. Are you in the same? Are you next door, or where are you right now?
We're in the same room.
In the same room?
We're on a speakerphone.
Couldn't tell that. Maybe could I get one of you on the actual phone? It might be a little easier in terms of hearing you.
Okay, we'll do that.
Okay.
Go ahead and shut up.
Yeah, shut up for a minute. She says.
Okay.
Obviously married. Did you get him to shut up, Elaine?
I did. It's off.
He's always butting in on everything, isn't he?
He was. I was noticing.
Yeah, that Ross. He tries to take over everything. You get a call from a radio station, and Ross has got to be on the speakerphone.
He likes his voice.
He likes his voice.
Yeah.
And a good voice it is, too. How are you, Elaine? Greenfield, Massachusetts is our town of the week.
Thank you.
And did you happen to hear a Jim Packer's description of your fair
city? I did. And actually, it's quite accurate. It's very good.
Did he leave out something key?
I don't think so. It is a lovely. We do live in the valley, and it is lovely out here.
Yeah. Did you know Penn Jillette or the family?
In fact, I did.
Yeah.
When I was growing up, he was down the street from me, and when we moved to another section of Greenfield, he actually lived on a street close to us. So.
Yeah. Was he like that even back then?
Yes, I think he was.
He's an unusual gentleman.
He's got an unusual sense of humor. He's a big man also.
Yeah, he's hilarious. Did he do magic around town and all that kind of thing? Or?
You know what? I don't remember him doing that locally.
No.
But he must have, because I think that's where he got his footings, really, was here.
Yeah. Are there other famous people from Greenfield or from the area?
That you should know, know about. You know, I was thinking as you were going through that, and yeah. I really, I don't know of anybody.
Oh, okay.
That's come from here.
I thought you had something there for a minute, and I was getting kind of excited. If we were coming to Greenfield, just to check out the lay of the land and so forth, where would you take us, Elaine?
I would take you into the countryside. I would take you along the river. We have biking is really big out here. Trail biking. The state has put in a road that connects towns.
Mm-hmm.
And canoeing is big here.
Canoeing.
Kayaking. We have a lot of summer outdoor activity, and in the winter there is a lot of skiing, but it's out of town. We don't have skiing in town.
So everybody's like really healthy in Greenfield, and
pretty much, yes.
Mostly vegans.
We have a lot of them.
A lot of them. 9 out of 10, would you say?
No, I wouldn't say it's that high. The young people. I would say it's a younger population.
A lot of grazing on fruits and nuts. And
yes.
Foraging, that sort of thing.
Yes.
Okay, so a lot of alternative energy, too. Do you have a wind farm out there? Or do you get solar?
I don't think we have wind farms yet, but we are very alternative, and that's what makes it so charming out here.
Yeah.
We're very close to Northampton, Mass., which is also alternative. So it is nice.
Did it attract alternative people, or the people there for some reason just turned out to be alternative?
I've seen people who really like country living. Come here. Our neighboring towns really are a strong draw for people from the city. They come up for the summer.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say probably yes, really, generally speaking.
Is there a summer celebration in Greenfield?
We have dinners on the common, actually, that are free. And we have a dinner in Shelburne Falls that spans their bridge that connects two little towns. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty spectacular. So yes, they do have summer, and our 4th of July is big here,
yeah.
And the Energy Park, it has really done a wonderful job in bringing the community together.
Yeah. You have dinners on the bridge, is that what you said?
Yes, and the dinner, that would be in Shelburne Falls, which is another town, but we have a dinner around the common in our town, in Greenfield.
And that's all free?
Yep. It's very nice.
Unlike the Clinton wedding, I might say.
Right. I know. You're interrupting my time. I'm getting ready to go.
You don't have an extra ticket there, do you?
Probably not.
Yeah. And a little spots. Now, if someone came to town, the tourists obviously do, quite a few people, but there's one or two spots that the tourists wouldn't know about that only insiders would know about, such as...
Our swimming pool is quite a nice thing. It's the river, and it's been dammed up. That's a nice spot to see.
They dammed up the river.
They dammed it up and made it a swimming hole, and it's nice. And
so it's not a river anymore. It's just, it's a...
Well, a river runs through it. Does that work?
Very good. I'm really glad we shut Ross up, you know, because you're much... Yeah. No, don't tell him that. He hears that enough, I'm sure. Yeah. So you swim in the dammed up river there?
Well, I used to.
Well, I'll be darned.
Child, yeah. It's very nice.
Yeah. Oh, that sounds good. Well, Elaine, thank you so much for speaking to us. We have a little something for you for being so kind.
Elaine, we're going to send you the pride of the Badger State and a delicious selection of organically crafted traditional and specialty cheeses from Southwest Wisconsin Cedar Grove Cheese, and we hope you enjoy that.
Thank you. Elaine Anderson from Town of the Week, Greenfield, Massachusetts.
Our next live shows in Madison are August 11th at the historic Music Hall on the UW-Madison campus. And we'll be at Monona Terrace on August 18th when we welcome author and humorist Michael Perry. Tickets at notmuch.com or by calling 608-262-2201. Tickets are on sale for a live What Do You Know show from Cedar Falls, Iowa on September 8th. More information available at notmuch.com. Stay tuned. Coming up, the hilarious wedding hotline and the What Do You Know quiz version 2. Michael Feldman's What Do You Know is produced by Wisconsin Public Radio for PRI, Public Radio International. Michael Feldman, producer, International. This is PRI, Public Radio International.
Well, you know, each week at this time, we get actual memos sent in by actual listeners so that actual listeners shall not perish from the earth. And also mail and stuff and some of the stuff. No, Andre Lejoy says, there was a 1935 Three Stooges movie called The Hoi Polloi.
Oh, yeah.
There you go. Okay. I'm not saying it makes any sense, but people write me stuff, and I feel I should... I'd respond, but I don't know exactly what he's talking about. Well, I think we use the word hoi polloi.
A lot now these days.
Yeah. Hello, Michael. The July 10th memo about the small white bits of toilet paper and residual toilet bowl debris struck a chord with me. I, too, have written that memo and posted it in the bathrooms here at work. I have also written memos about the kitchen sink, the items of debris that have been found therein. The last memo went out in English and Spanish. Did you know that bits of corn translates to nucleos de maíz? Right now, I have a memo posted about kitchen hygiene, which exhibits lovely parallel structure, reiterating the phrase, if you don't keep the kitchen clean, then someone like me has to do it. An elegant plea, if I do say so. I long for the days when we are past budget cuts, and I can once again have the Swisher hygiene people come and take control of the bathrooms. Always got to do his own bathroom patrol. Yeah. Perhaps at that time I will turn the employee lunchroom into an executive office suite, but you and I know that the employees will find some other place in the office to put small bits of white paper and crumbs of food. You just can't win, but I do keep on trying. Keep the faith, my friend, Lori. She needs to move on. I think another. You know, I think she's probably gone as far as she can do in that position, don't you think?
I think so.
Yeah. Annette Felice, hey Michael, love the show and all the gang. I wish I could go to the Silver Jubilee, but alas, it's my wedding anniversary. Big deal, Annette. This is my Silver Jubilee. It's not your 25th wedding anniversary, I bet you. However, if I could go, I think I would be a serious contestant for the freebies. Here it is. When the show moved to Monona Terrace in the Union a while ago, there was what I dubbed the Great Donut. Oh, yeah. As I recall it, the Monona Terrace wanted the show to purchase the donuts from the caterer. I don't want to bring this all up again. This is the biggest fan. I actually called the public relations and said, grandfather in the donuts for the show is a longstanding tradition. Oh, they didn't do that. The woman said I was the most polite caller on the topic. Thanks, Annette. That really opening some cans of worms and better left. Mr. Feldman, I listen to your program on my iPod as I work second shift for Uncle Sam and usually comatose when your program airs live. Oh, no, not on the shift. Okay. One of these days I'll wake up early so I can watch the gym cam. Anyway, I just wanted to let you know that there are several of my coworkers who, when people look at me quizzically because I randomly burst out laughing, shake their heads, and I have to explain, don't mind her, she's listening to Michael Feldman. Well, we've all heard that. Or don't mind him, he is Michael Feldman, I get that. I've been listening to you since 2000 when I started college and continue to listen. Your program has gotten me from economics exams to passport adjudication.
Adjudication?
Adjudication.
Like,
funny, I couldn't get the Jew part. I must be blocking on that for some reason. Thanks so much and keep it up. Well, thank you very much. And let's see... thank you for having so many great interviews with authors. I just finished reading The Lunatic Express, and I would never have found out the book if you hadn't listened to your podcast. Okay, so they like that. And, okay, here's the actual memo. Actually, this is a job listing, because the way things are these days, these are worth considering. This is the University of Missouri, Columbia. All right. Laboratory Assistant, Department of Fisheries and Wildlife Sciences, vacancy number. Open posting, information not benefit eligible, salary range $7.98 to $11.80. In Ellington, special notes, summary, assist with field work in the trapping of small mammals, amphibians, and reptiles to identify species and record data for Missouri Forest Ecosystem Project. Qualifications, a high school diploma or an equivalent combination of education and experience from which comparable knowledge and abilities can be acquired. A job description, install drift fence array by digging into the ground with hand tools and placing aluminum valley tin in 5-gallon buckets in the ground, constructing funnel traps from aluminum window screening. Budget cuts, you know. And the use of hand tools... flagging small mammal grids with the use of a map, compass, and plastic flagging, trapping amphibians and reptiles at drift fence arrays, trapping small mammals on grids with the use of baited Sherman live traps, maintaining traps to keep them in good working condition, identifying captured animals to species, marking them, releasing them, and recording required information on field data, entering data from field data sheets into access data files, double-checking access data files for accuracy, driving up to 50 miles a day on pavement, gravel roads and trails in the forest, using four-wheel drive trucks, hiking 5 miles a day in the forest in steep, rocky terrain, working in the rain, snow, and hot, humid weather, with the potential for contact with ticks, chiggers, gnats, and poisonous snakes. Thank you for that job opportunity, ladies and gentlemen. But it goes up to $11.80 an hour if you actually get Lyme disease from it.
Right.
And, Jim, where can they send memos and what have you?
Send all of those memos and communications to Thanks for the Memos, Michael Feldman, Wisconsin Public Radio, 821 University Avenue, Madison, Wisconsin, 53706. Or you can go to the website, notmuch.com,
right.
Post it there.
You sure can. And we take, actually, things through the mail. Sometimes still arrive. People send letters occasionally.
Mm-hmm.
It's always it's a shock now to get a letter, isn't it?
It is. It's so rare.
Yeah, it's nice. And people have handwriting. Did you know that? Isn't it weird to get a handwritten letter? I love it, actually. Yeah. They're mostly from prisons and such. But still, I really appreciate it. They're printed very nicely. You know, I can't get the wedding off my mind, and the fact that none of us can go to it has been a problem. And not even friends of Bill, you know. I mean, the Clintons have had a lot of friends. You know, they had a lot of legal expenses, and they've got, you know, and none of them go. There's 400 guests.
That's a lot.
Which means like 200 from each side, though.
Sure.
You know, I assume, unless, you know, well, the Clintons probably get 300, and he gets 100. You know?
Yeah.
And so what I'm thinking that is a lot of people who are really kind of expected to get an invitation, because they donated, you know, large sums of money or whatever, or, mm-hmm. bailed them out of various things. But no, it's Chelsea's got to know them and got to like them, you know.
Yeah.
The Gores aren't coming.
Yeah. No. It's Chelsea's wedding.
Say no more. Huh? Chelsea's wedding. But I'm thinking we now are, people are all dressed up, nowhere to go, alternative weddings to go to today, somewhere around the country. People probably in New York, but anywhere really, who really are in a wedding mood and feel thwarted by the fact they cannot get into Rhinebeck for the festivities, can't even drive in there and just, you know, wish them well.
You're blocked out.
Get in the receiving line or can't do it. So right now, people out there who have a wedding going on today and they have room. You know, we don't need everyone. Doesn't have to go to one wedding. We can get several weddings, you know, 20 people here, 20 people there, 10 people
right.
here. And, you know, if we bring something, then I don't see that it's a net gain, really,
right.
for the weddings involved. So if you have a wedding going on today, this morning, this afternoon, or tonight, that we can come to, you know, and we can line people up with weddings right now. So if you have a wedding going on right now in competition with, by the way, the Chelsea Clinton, a big affair there in Rhinebeck, you're competing with it in a sense. Let's hear from you right now, Jim.
That's right. And they have to call.
Yes, how would you do that, Jim?
At 800-942-5669.
Yes. Wedding going on. We're invited.
That's right.
The way I want to see it. Someplace we can actually go. We're actually wanted because we care.
And we have suitable dress.
And I have just that one sport jacket. You have. I could borrow from you, maybe.
Well, I've got a suit for you, I think.
You do?
Yeah.
What size are you?
I'm a 42 long.
It's not going to work for me, Jim. I'll swim in that.
All right. How about that sport jacket of yours?
Yeah. But can we hike it up? We can probably.
We'll work it out.
Looking for weddings going on right now that the average person like us can go to if we need a really. We're in a wedding mood. We got weddings going on all over, and we just, you know, you probably got a little room. And if there's room, I mean, I'm not saying, you know, make special arrangements for us, but if there's a room and if there's, you know, maybe a chicken or fish or.
Or the veggies.
The medley. Duncan in Chippewa Falls. Duncan, do you have a wedding that we can come to?
Yeah, you can come to my wedding.
Yeah. Is that today?
It is today.
It is today. Whoa. Are you at it right now? Are you at it right now?
I am on my way to meet with the groomsmen so that we can then head to the wedding site.
Okay. Did you have a big groomsmen bash last night, Duncan?
That was Wednesday.
That was Wednesday. How'd that go?
It went well enough.
Well enough. Okay, let's leave it at that, I guess.
Yeah.
Where'd you have that at? In Chippewa Falls?
No, we went to Minneapolis, and we visited some of the different venues there.
Camp Snoopy?
Camp Snoopy, sure.
Okay, so you got through that all right now. And where's the wedding? What time? And what should we wear? And
well, we're getting married at the Cook Rutledge Mansion on the west hill of Chippewa Falls.
Yeah.
And from there, we're going to have a reception at the Avalon Hotel.
Avalon.
Which is, right, that's on the south side of town.
Okay, should we just come for the reception or should we come for the ceremony?
Well, I'll tell you what. The reception room is going to be booked for the dinner, but if you want to come around 7 o'clock, there's a cash bar, and we'd love to have you. We have a DJ. There's even going to be some karaoke.
Cash bar and karaoke sounds pretty enticing. And Duncan, who is the lucky girl?
Her name is Amy.
Amy? Okay.
Yes.
And so is it a big affair? A lot of people invited?
Well, actually, because we're at the mansion for the wedding, we had to keep the guest list small.
Yeah.
But then there's going to be more at the reception.
Yeah.
That's all right. We like it that way.
Yeah. And the reception is at the Avalon?
It is at the Avalon.
Yeah. And that's
the fine establishment.
And that's at in Chippewa Falls as well?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Sounds good. So you get a lot of people from Eau Claire probably coming in. And
we've got Eau Claire. We've got people from Washington State. We've got people from Florida. People made the trip.
This is bigger than the Rhinebeck deal. This is good, Duncan. Congratulations. Are you a little nervous? Are you a little nervous?
Am I nervous? Only insofar as I want to get it over with. Let's just get the show on the road.
The marriage or the wedding? Because that's a little premature, Duncan.
The wedding. No, the marriage I'm very much looking forward to.
Yeah, excellent. Thanks, Duncan.
Thank you.
You'll see some of us there at the Avalon. We'll just come to the Avalon and we'll ask for you. Congratulations. Okay. There's one right now. Very nice affair in Chippewa Falls. See, that's what I'm talking about.
That's right.
And, we don't have security here in Wisconsin and all that. And, close the airspace. Are we going to close the airspace over Chippewa Falls? I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Michelle's in Kansas City. Hi, Michelle.
Hello.
Have you got a wedding for us?
Well, I don't have a wedding, but I've got a 90th birthday.
A 90th birthday is a nice affair. That's as good as a wedding.
Yeah. So that's going to be full of people and tons of people, and you can come right in, and nobody'd even notice you were crashing.
Okay. Okay, and so this is in Kansas City?
Uh-huh. It's for my aunt, Geraldine Runyon.
Geraldine Runyon, 90th. We got to know the name or they suspect immediately that, How is Geraldine? How is Aunt Geraldine?
She's good.
She's doing good. And where is it at?
It's in Kansas City, Missouri.
Yeah, but we got nowhere. We just can't wander around Kansas City asking for Aunt Geraldine.
That's right. It's at the Electrician's Hall.
The Electrician's Hall?
Yeah.
Where is that?
Well, that's probably all I need to give at this point.
You're afraid we're going to come, aren't you, Misha?
Might have some crashers.
Might have some crashes. Okay, so if we can find the Electrician's Hall in Kansas City and say we're related to Geraldine, what's the last name?
Runyon,
yeah, Geraldine Runyon.
So happy birthday.
That should get us in a happy birthday, and a very happy birthday to her. And thank you, Michelle.
Bye.
You're going to see some of us there. That's good. Doesn't have to be just a wedding. Although weddings are good. That line is gone. We're looking now for weddings we can crash, not crash. Because we'll be invited to.
That's right.
If you have a wedding going on or like something like that, a 90th birthday, it'd be a wonderful affair for us to bust into. The cash bar, and the wedding we got
and
there.
And the karaoke.
That's kind of a stopper, but the karaoke kind of balances that out, let's see. Marty is in Appleton's got something going on there. Marty, hi. What's going on in Appleton?
I have weddings all over the state of Wisconsin you can go to.
You do?
I run a party rental company, so I assume I can invite you guys all to them.
Yeah, so you know where it's happening, huh?
Yep, I've got one at Brett Favre Steakhouse you can watch training camp.
Oh, yes, that's it. Brett Favre Steakhouse. Is that still open?
Yep. I think they painted it purple and it's still open.
They didn't, did they?
No, they didn't.
Oh, my God. Because that would last about a day, painted purple. So there's what's going on there at Brett Farms?
It's a wedding outside. They got a tent up and everything on the parking lot.
Okay, but who? We got to know some names at least.
Some names. I believe it's Clayman Celine. I believe it is.
This is not.
I go set up the tents. I don't know. I'm
Clayman Celine. We're going to go there and say Clayman Celine sent me and get into the.
No, Just tell him you're invited by the party rental guy, and he assumed he could invite hundreds and hundreds of people over the radio.
Yeah. Marty sent me. Like I gotta say, yeah, Marty sent me. I got to pick up the chairs. We need the chairs for another wedding.
Yeah, if you could do that, so if you, there,
folks, just get out of them for a minute.
That would be great. I'd even pay you.
Yeah, Marty. And Marty, are you doing? Do you do the is there like a DJ too from you?
No,
you don't
do the tents, tables, chairs, linens, china, that kind of thing.
Yeah. What else you got for us? Appleton sounds good.
Stages, dance floors.
No, I mean, what other affairs?
Oh, there's one going on at North Shore Golf Club as well. That one's maybe a little bit of a swanker affair if you're not looking for the training camp type of...
Swank sounds good. Swank, also in Appleton?
That's in Menasha, technically.
Okay. I don't go into Menasha. I'd go, if it was Nina, I would go. But no, Menasha sounds nice. And that's at the North Shore Country Club?
Mm-hmm.
Do you happen to know the names of these?
No, they didn't. I mean, that one I went through a wedding planner, so I literally don't know the name.
Okay. What's the name of the wedding planner? Oh, we're not going
to
crash.
I would say just walk into any wedding all over the state of Wisconsin and tell them Marty sent you.
Right. The famous last words is what I think. Thanks, Marty.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Okay. Not as good as the affair at the Avalon there so far. But the cash bar is a bit of a stopper.
That's true.
Yeah. Deanne, you there?
I'm here.
Have you got a wedding going on here in Charleston, West Virginia?
No, but I'm curious about that fellow that wears a 42 long jacket. he sounds like my size of a man. I want to know if he's married or not.
Oh, boy. He's married.
Oh, too bad.
He's way married.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's all I have to say.
Thanks, Deanne.
Thanks.
I'm sure he appreciates it.
Okay.
Forty-two long. Yeah. He just wears his jackets long. That's all it is. It's not like... 42 long. What's your inseam, big boy?
36.
Not your waist, your inseam.
Oh, inseam.
Yeah.
Inseam. 32.
Michael's in Green Bay, aren't you, Michael?
I am in Green Bay.
Are you getting married?
I am getting married today.
Oh, what a man.
Yes. Thank you.
Yeah. A little encouragement there for you. In Green Bay?
Yeah, right in Green Bay.
Yeah, and what time's the wedding?
Well, the small private ceremony is about 3:30, but...
Can't make that.
Guests are going to arrive at 5.
Yeah.
And for cocktail hour, but if you can make it by 6:30, we'd set a plate for you.
Cool. Well, where is it?
Green Bay Country Club.
Oh, that sounds nice. I haven't been there.
Yeah, it's a little overcast here today, but I think we'll get it in. I think it'll be all right.
Yeah. Is the ceremony going to be outdoors?
Ideally, the ceremony, yes, but all of the eating and drinking will be indoors.
Okay.
Yeah.
All the consumables will be indoors.
Yes.
And who are you marrying, Michael?
My lovely fiance is named Angela.
Angela.
Yep.
This sounds nice. And,
yeah, you'd like her.
I'd like her? Yeah, good.
Yeah.
And all right, so that's good. And are you a little nervous right now, or how are you holding up?
You know, I was doing fine until I actually called the show, and I'm probably more nervous about the phone call than the wedding.
Yeah. The wedding is who paid for all this? Her side pays for it, right? The bride side?
Well, yeah. We're kind of doing it ourselves.
You are? Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
good. That's good. And, all right, so we come at what time? Say 6:30?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Country Club.
Right.
And that, is it chicken? What's our choice?
Well, you have a choice of a filet. you have a chicken Napoleon, which I don't know if I could describe to you.
Yeah, what happened to Napoleon? It wasn't good. I know that.
It's layered, and I think there's a sprig of sage coming out of it.
Okay.
Yeah. And then there's a potato walleye.
Ooh. Potato walleye?
Potato crusted walleye, I think is.
I didn't know if it was a potato or a walleye, and how.
I think it's both.
It's a hybrid of a potato, combine a potato with a walleye. That sounds good. I'd have to go with the walleye.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Can you hold a few of those for us?
I think that'd be all right.
That would be really cool. And then afterwards, what do we got, dancing? And?
Yeah,
Yeah, there'll be a DJ and, yeah. You know, just basically until people start filtering out.
Yeah. What? John did something. I don't know what it was.
Yeah, right. I don't know what that is either.
All right. And then you guys are off on a mad dash to your honeymoon right afterwards?
Yeah, actually, tomorrow we fly over to London.
No kidding. Hey, yeah. You're doing it right, Mike.
Yeah. Yep.
Darn cool. So maybe spend a week in London or?
Well, about 4 days in London, then we're going to go off to Brussels and then off to Paris and then back home.
Fantastic. You're doing it right.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
If I don't see you there, I hope to. But if I don't, best wishes to you. Congratulations.
Thanks, Michael.
Have a great one.
Thank you.
Okay. There are some possibilities for you anyhow if you got that wedding feeling. And nowhere to go. What were you doing back there, John? Well, I was trying to work.
You said DJ, and I went, you know.
Oh, a DJ. Okay. All right. Yeah, really.
But that's
fine. God, you know, I should have tried to
hook up a gig, but they probably already got it by
yeah,
now.
Yeah,
today's
yeah.
Today's the day.
See, but that's they're all doing DJs now, right? For
yeah,
weddings.
Yeah, that's it's big. It's
cash bars and karaoke instead
cash
of
cash bars, karaoke, DJ, and that's it.
Instead of a live jazz band.
Yeah. Yeah, that's all right.
That's too bad because you've got a big wedding repertoire. I know that.
Oh yeah, well we're doing one next. Or I'm doing one next week.
Yeah.
That's a wedding.
Where is that?
It's in Milwaukee somewhere or Fox Point. Or,
where? Where in Fox?
I don't know.
Point? Country club.
No, I think it's at a private residence.
Where?
I don't know. I'll find out, okay?
Fox Point Drive?
Something like that, yeah.
Address?
Yeah, 662, 666.
They all have. It's the mark of the devil. I'm not going to that wedding.
666 Damien Lane, I think.
Great, see you there. I'll borrow his 42 long, and I'll see you there.
Yeah, okay.
Just wear with a pair of shorts, maybe, or something.
Yeah. They want a fun group, so we're going to have fun.
Okay, well, that sounds good. Okay, that's good. How are you? Pretty good? Doing good? How's things?
Yes, sir. Yeah. This is fun.
Why? What are you doing here?
Actually, my niece.
Oh, you mean the show?
Yeah, this is, lots of fun.
Yeah. I thought it was the medication or something.
And also, no. I've been watching you online and listening for over 10 years, yeah. And you are a lot nicer looking in person.
Yeah.
And you're younger looking than you used to be.
Yes. I was just saying that to someone. My psychiatrist, I think it was.
Jim is hot.
Jim is hot.
Thank you.
Are we talking about the same Jim?
Yes.
I'm perspiring.
Yeah.
It's hot this summer.
Okay, well, no counting for taste. Thank you, though, for a lot of that. Let's see. I've got my cards here somewhere. And how are you doing, sir? Pretty good?
Great. Thank you.
Good. Is that your rugby shirt?
No, it's not.
You play rugby, though?
No.
Okay. You know, it is a rugby shirt.
It is?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. Did you buy it in the rugby section?
No, I did not. It's a golf shirt.
Oh, it's a golf shirt. Well, it's a rugby shirt. Stripes are a rugby shirt.
Okay.
Have you ever played rugby or thought about it?
Sir. Golf rugby?
Huh?
Golf rugby.
Okay, let's move around here. Vicky, who's a legal secretary here in Madison. Hi, Vicky. How are you? You think pretty fast on your feet. Tell us about a time a guest left you speechless. Marilyn Perry is here all the way from Fort Atkinson. She's a nursing home administrator who came with two men that she met. Where is that? Where is she? Oh, there she is, right down here.
Oh.
Okay. I was hoping to get a chance to talk to you.
We were.
Yes.
Thank you for stopping by.
Oh, yes. My pleasure. You came with two men. Did you just meet these guys?
I met one in a laundromat, and that was in Chicago. Uh-huh. I met the other one at a camp in Colorado Springs.
Yeah. Did the one know about the other?
They eventually did.
That's bound to come out sooner or later.
I guess so.
Play both ends against the middle.
No. So I asked you, which one did I marry?
Laundromat.
Wrong. He's from the laundromat.
Oh. He's from the camp.
Yeah. That's the one I married.
Yeah.
Yeah, she pulled a spider out of my hair, so I guess I'm known as Spider-Man.
Is that what happened?
I did. The first time I saw him, I reached over, and he had a crew cut.
Well, what'd you pull out of him?
Nothing. I was watching him try and use a laundromat. He didn't seem to know what he was doing.
Is this all true, sir?
It's absolutely true. Yes, it is. Yep.
And you remember that incident in the laundromat?
I sure do.
And were you separating your whites and your coloreds?
Yes. As a matter of fact, I was.
Yes. Don't ask me how I know these things. I'm a psychic or a psychotic or something.
Well, the one question I had for her, though, was I said to her, you know, Marilyn, I really like to get to know you. I says, do you know about the Columbus and when he came to discover America? And she says, no, what about it? I said, he had four ships. He said, four ships? No, three. I said, no, four. The Nina, the Pinta, the Santa Maria, and the one that went over the edge. That's why she
went with the other guy. That sealed the deal right there.
I guess so.
No regrets on that one either.
No. Mm-mm. No.
So this is the lucky man here?
Yeah, the Spider-Man. Yes.
Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. Did you know you had competition at that time?
Actually, I had met him before, but he married just before we did, so I kind of knew about him. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So
out of
his
the way.
Wife is here too.
Yeah. Yes?
Yes.
I didn't mean to ignore you, dear. But what's your name?
D.
Did you meet him in a laundromat, too? Was that his routine, that he would go in a laundromat and look like he couldn't separate his laundry, and some woman would come over and say, let me help you with that?
No, we met at a July 4th picnic.
Really?
Yeah.
So this is the guy who's always at events or laundromats or public places or in a supermarket.
Trying to pick up ladies.
Oh, yeah. Well, actually, that's incorrect, because actually we met together in a revolving door, and we've been going around ever since.
All right, okay. And but you all stayed friends all these years?
Well, yeah.
You're not so sure, though.
Oh, yeah. I'm pretty sure. You know, he's more friendly.
Yeah.
Yeah,
because
that's
well,
when I married.
Yeah. Yeah, we are friendly. We keep it friendly. Yeah.
Friend, they're very...
Yes. How many years?
How many years has it been?
42.
If he says so, that's correct.
She thought it was only 40. Apparently,
41, but that's correct. 42 is correct.
Yeah, it's 40. 40 with deductions. A couple of years are a little rocky, let's face it. We all have that. What do we have for this wonderful group here of old friends, Jim?
We're going to let them cool off with a soothing taste of some fine wines like Domaine de Sac or the award-winning Prairie Fumée from the Waldersheim Winery, and hope you enjoy all of those.
Thank you all. Thank you all. Nice to see you. Thank you for coming here. Oh, pardon. Robert Kuchinick can do the elevator dance for us, so you do it right now. What sort of music do you need for that?
Well, you don't have any steps in the elevator dance.
Oh, very disappointing, Robert. I thought you were going to, I thought it was, you know, going down and going up or something.
Nope. That's one of my corny jokes.
All right, let us know if you think of any more, and we'll come back for those. All right, mechanical engineer, want to see my Mercedes-Benz scar? Yeah. Elizabeth? Yes? Yes, I'd love to, actually. Excuse me, I got to go see a scar. It's all part of the job. Part of the job description. When people offer you a scar, you always look at it. I find. I can't say no, can I?
No, absolutely not.
Do you have any scars you want me to see?
No, that's okay.
Sir, any scars?
No.
Brick marks or anything? Identifying marks? No, nothing. Okay, good. How you guys doing?
Good.
How'd you get here?
By car.
By car, yeah, I know, but did they make you come? Or?
Oh, yeah, they made me come.
What would you be doing now? Anything?
Probably sleeping.
Still sleeping? Yeah, my kids never get up in time for the show. Yeah. How late can you sleep?
Probably around 1.
Not bad. My brother Arthur could go till 3. He might be the record holder in that. In fact, I think he could sleep all day. I think he was nocturnal is what it was. You know, there are people. Oh, hi.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Where's your scar?
Well, it's right here.
Oh, yeah. Oh, gee. It is. Oh, it's shaped like the Mercedes.
It is. They call it the Mercedes-Benz scar.
Yeah.
I was a live liver donor 2.5 years ago.
Wow.
And my recipient is doing extremely well. He's out running in the 5K race.
That's yeah. What's your name, dear?
Elizabeth.
Elizabeth?
Yes.
Fantastic. And tell us a little more about this whole weekend that's going on here now.
Well, the organ transplant games are going on here in Madison, and they're held every 2 years. So anyone who has had an organ transplant or who has given an organ can participate in the games. Yeah. And right now there's an expo going on where a lot of companies who either supply drugs to people who need the transplants or afterwards the anti-rejection drugs, they're on display and providing information.
Okay. Now, were you did you donate or did you receive?
I donated.
What do you do for a liver now?
The liver is one of the only organs in the body that regenerates. So within a short period of time, maybe a month, month and a half, my liver regenerated itself.
So you can give a lobe.
You can give a lobe. There's two lobes in the liver. You give one, and then the one that's remaining in your body regenerates.
I didn't even know that. That's fantastic. Thank you so much. There it is again. It's kind of cute, as it is. Yeah, very cute. Thank you very much, Elizabeth. Walk sideways out here. Ferret shelter operator? I don't think so. Ferret shelter? You have a ferret shelter? You don't have a ferret shelter. You're putting me on. Yeah, okay. I guess you stand up here and then maybe we can ferret this out. Tell me about you. A ferret shelter.
I have a ferret shelter. There are quite a few around the country and there's quite a need. And we get overwhelmed with too many unwanted ferrets.
Is there a wanted ferret? I mean, who wants a ferret?
Kids.
She has a woodchuck.
Is that qualified?
No. Woodchucks we don't do.
You gotta draw a line somewhere.
Right, right. Ferrets only.
Ferrets and they discover they're a little annoying to have around. Because
Sometimes it's too much for some people or other situations.
They never stop ferreting, do they?
They sure do because they're all neutered.
Well, I guess I would do it. I would ferret a lot less under those conditions.
They don't make more for the general pet store ferrets.
But, I mean, they keep doing that ferreting thing.
Oh, yes.
Cute at first.
It's cute. Sometimes it gets annoying. Sometimes they're sweet. Sometimes they're not so sweet.
Yeah. But they actually, a ferret, what does a ferret do for a living? I mean, is it going to tunnels and things? And
they love tunnels.
Yeah.
They love
sleep. So they go in there looking for...
They amuse their owners.
Yeah. How many ferrets do you have right now?
Don't want to say...
Waiting for adoption?
40.
40 ferrets looking for good homes. If somebody, and I can't imagine they would, but if somebody wants a ferret, wants to adopt a ferret.
Look online, look up your local ferret shelter.
Look up your local ferret shelter. Okay, we're learning all kinds. Thank you very much. Thank you. Carol Owens. Ferret rescue. Okay. We're going to try the what do you know quiz again because we did the first time and you won it. You won everything, but we still have more stuff.
Checking on my life's bucket list.
Off your bucket list right now. All right, someone who's still got it on their bucket list, this is your chance for you right now to play the what do you know quiz, a chance to win fabulous prizes simply for being fabulous. You know, he does seem needy. 25 years, Silver Jubilee boy. Come on down. Either way. You pick your way. He was raised on this show, ladies and gentlemen. He was possibly conceived during the show. How old are you?
I am 35.
You're 35, so you weren't conceived during the show. That's a shame. That would have been really cool. So since you were 10, you've been listening to the show?
I have been, yes.
Yeah. Aren't you a little tired of it by now?
Getting tired. In the garage and, fall asleep to it every once in a while.
You're listening in the garage because they won't allow the show in the house?
That's right. Yeah. It's my own garage now. But it probably started in their garage.
Yeah. Or in the attic. A lot of guys listen in the attic because their wives don't like it.
And basement.
Yeah, basement. Yeah, the garage is good. Your name is?
Luther.
Luther?
Yes.
Are you from around here?
I'm from La Crosse, Wisconsin.
Yeah, okay. Give me one good reason, Luther, you should play this quiz.
I've always been curious what a treasure trove is.
Okay. Well, you got some idea earlier. It's really not worth having, but come on up here, Luther. Let's give him a little encouragement. He's got 25 years invested in this thing. Have a seat there, if you would. Dum, 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 dum.
Bum, bum, bum.
I could be a musician if I could play something. That's what I've always maintained. What's going on, Luther? How are you doing?
Doing well.
Yeah, what field are you in these days?
Former teacher. Work for Veracore Medical Systems right now.
Yeah, what do you do for that?
Do a little of everything right now. Okay. We are a fairly small company.
What is a medical system, anyway?
Emergency response units.
Oh, cool.
For disasters, hurricane victims,
really?
Katrina, outfitted a lot.
Oh,
there,
yeah.
So.
Do you go out in the field on these things, or you're an organizer?
Nope. We put them together. We're doing some marketing, and it's been around 4 years now. So.
Wow, that's really cool. Is that here?
It's actually up in Holman, Wisconsin.
In Holman. Wow, how cool. That's very cool. And before that, you were a teacher?
I was teaching, yes.
Yeah, what were you teaching?
Taught middle school. For
No wonder you're an emergency response.
And I also was in the collegiate coaching and teaching there for 7 years.
Yeah, coaching what?
Tennis, swimming, Luther College.
Oh, yeah, Luther, fantastic. You're Luther? Your name is Luther? Is it your college then?
Imagine the recruiting calls. This is Luther from Luther, yes.
Yeah, Luther from Luther. We got a double Luther here.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool. I have a girl in tennis, my daughter.
Great. I'll give her some lessons.
It's nerve-wracking, though. I'll tell you. You know, what is more nerve-wracking? You know, I mean, because it's basically individual, all this stuff, and it's all this mental, individual, psychological distress.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, plus there's a sport involved. You know, it's tough.
Yeah. Well, it's even more nerve-wracking for the coaches. We're watching 7 matches at one time, and each have to win that point at that time.
I know. That's got to be hard. Yeah. And you got to go and say something encouraging.
Try.
Just get it done. What do you say? Get it done?
Get her done, yeah. The southern version of tennis.
Yeah. No, there's nothing you can say, really.
Hey, do your best.
Yeah.
It's not the end of the world if you lose this point.
Yeah.
It might be the end of my world, but it's not the end of the world.
Coach is going, but you'll be all right. You've got your whole life ahead of you. Well, that's cool. Luther, very nice to meet you. Glad you're here.
You.
Who are you here with? You got family?
My mom.
Your mom?
Yep.
Hi, Mom. That's right. Your mom was the one who was very insistent upon
that.
Yeah,
she was.
Because she made
you
listen. She
was ready to tackle you, I think, to get me on.
She could tackle me. She made you listen even at age 10.
At age 10.
Do you recall those?
I listened to the other show on Saturday as well.
Yeah.
But
is there another one?
Apparently. Oh. Click and Clack or something? No.
Oh, okay. Yeah, hey, they're good.
Well,
sure, you betcha.
They haven't been on that long.
No. Almost.
As long as you.
Yeah. Okay. And, okay, so that's good. Luther, someone out there will play along with you. And you can check in your watch. I know. So you got to be somewhere?
Well, I think you have to get
done
with this.
Look at the size of that watch. That's a clock. That's not a watch. Show people your clock. Look at the size of that. Is that for underwater purposes or what?
It can be.
We have a little wading pool there.
I can try it. Can check the temperature.
That's really, what's that? Is that diamonds around the edge?
No, not quite.
Okay. Someone out there plays along with you. How do they do that, Jim?
This is an encore performance, so don't call today, but save your call for another time.
You got the number out? Yes, people have already called up, so they don't. I could
We've
ask.
Got to, yeah.
Okay. Let's just see. Jody, hi, you there?
Hello.
From Hudson?
Yes, sir.
Michigan? What's the question, Jody?
I don't know.
Aha!
I didn't hear one.
My point exactly, Jody. You got to wait for the question, then you call with the answer. Okay, but here's the question. I'll give you a break here. Proving that Democrats are soft on crime posthumously. New Mexico Governor Bill Richardson will pardon who?
Al Capone?
No, that'd be a good one.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. That's not it, Jody. Sorry.
Thanks.
Try us again, dear.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
Leslie's on the line from Russellville, Kentucky. Leslie.
Well, I need a minute, Michael. And
okay.
While you're waiting, I was wondering if you could go through your monologue again. I missed it this morning.
Oh, okay, sure. So did everybody else, and they heard it. So. Need a minute, do you? What do you?
Yeah, I'm not quite sure yet.
Okay. You're not looking it up, are you? Do you know, Leslie, or you don't?
I actually don't.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
All right.
So no monologue, right?
No monologue, no. Didn't work the first time. It's not going to work the second time.
Okay. All right. Well,
thanks, though.
Bye.
Bye. I need a minute. Mitchell's online from Cookeville, Tennessee. Hey, Mitch.
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
Good. Yourself?
Good. I would have to be William Bonney.
Is that Billy the Kid?
Yeah.
That's him. You got it. How do you feel about that, Mitch?
Oh, I'm just all excited. Real excited, Mike. Heck, I'm, yeah.
About Billy the Kid?
Oh, well, you know, yeah. The fact that he was finally pardoned.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, what the heck? I mean, those were rough times back then, you know what I mean?
Right.
You know, I mean, it wasn't easy for a guy to go out and get a job at the 7-Eleven, you know?
No, he couldn't do it at that time. No. And a lot of people were doing the same thing. He was just really good at it.
Well, no, not really.
No,
I mean, if he'd been that good, he wouldn't have got it like he did. But
that's true. That's true. So you're in favor of it. Mitch, what do you do there in Cookeville?
Well, I'm kind of retired.
Are you?
Yeah.
From what area?
Well, I was in the seafood business out in Southern California, and I moved back here several years ago.
Not that much seafood in Tennessee?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they've got some good stuff at a Kroger. It's good stuff. Really, it is.
You are inland, though.
Well, yeah, but I mean, they get their stuff shipped to them, and you can order stuff, and you know they can have it, you know, shipped to them. So they got some, you know, pretty good stuff, really.
Okay, so you're in seafood one minute in California, and you decide, well, that's enough seafood in California. I'm moving to Cookeville, Tennessee.
Well, my ancestors were from back here. You know, I had some on my grandmother's side that got in this part of the country in 1791.
No kidding.
Oh yeah, and from all places, they came from New York.
Yeah.
I mean, how many people moved in the 1790s from New York to Tennessee?
Probably you could count them.
Yeah.
It's countable. Well, Mitch, this is Luther here. He's your partner in crime here.
Hi, Mitch.
How you doing, Luther?
Doing well. How are you doing?
Doing great.
Okay, the two of you are now a team, so you know this how the quiz works, Mitchell?
Yes.
Okay. When it does, it's a general knowledge kind of thing. Jim Packard has the categories for us, and he will tell us right now.
Those are current events, people, places, things you should have learned in school had you been paying attention, science or odds and ends.
Sorry, just keep looking at you now. No. Now I'm looking at you in a different way now.
Yeah.
I don't know. I am.
Yada, yada, yada.
No, I mean it. 42 long. There's nothing to be sniffed at. Mitch, let's take the first question.
Let's go with current events.
Current events, right out of the news, maybe not. A 5-year-old Irish boy won a judgment of 7,500 euros for defamation of character in what incident that made worldwide news in Ireland? From Ireland.
My goodness, I don't know. Luther, do you have any idea at all?
Got it for suffering and distress from what incident in Ireland? 5-year-old boy.
5 years old. Yeah. Spanking?
5-year-old boy. Oh, gosh.
It
sounds so much easier when you just listen to it on the radio.
Yeah, it is.
They give you easier questions.
It's easy listening. That's why. That's there.
Yeah.
Got to call time.
Oh, we do? Okay. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
it's he was accused of stealing a bag of crisps or potato chips, as we would call them here. Didn't do it. They sued because he was. His mother said that he had suffering, pain and suffering. How many times did we get accused of stealing stuff?
Yeah.
Every time we went into the store, we'd take our pockets out and stuff. But you got that's cool. And that would be?
No right and one wrong.
Okay, don't worry about it.
Oh, boy.
We won't hold that against you. Let's go on here. What's left?
People, places, school, science, odds and ends.
You're going to come back from that, Luther?
Let's do school.
School. You miss the tennis racket at all? Or?
Oh, I do, yeah. I get
racket.
Out everyone. Rackets.
Yeah. Yeah. You still play yourself?
I do, yes.
Florence Nightingale, which war was that again? Okay, Florence Nightingale, famous nurse. Was it the Crimean, French and Indian, or the War of 1812? Florence Nightingale.
Mitch, what do you, I think?
Mitch knows.
Well, I don't remember the Crimean War. I don't think
Crimean War is right.
There it is.
Unbelievable.
Wow, Mitch, great work.
That is unbelievable.
Very insightful. That would be
one right and one wrong.
That's right. Okay. What's left there, Jimmy?
People, places, science, odds and ends.
Mitch?
Let's try odds and ends.
Can I call you Mitch? I know you have Mitchell down
here.
Yeah,
that's fine. Okay.
Odds and ends?
Yeah.
All right. Odds and ends. A cigarette butt. Lifespan at sea. 15 years, 50 years, or infinite? Infinity.
Fifteen years
is right. Unbelievable.
Hey, Mitch, way to go.
Holy cow, Mitch, you're a psychic.
I felt
Hey, Mitch, you're on a roll.
Unbelievable.
Two right and one wrong.
He really has got something going
he's
there.
He's on a roll.
Yeah, Mitch.
People, places, yeah. Science.
Let's try places.
Hey, he's on a roll. My doubles partner, keep him going.
Used confessionals for saunas. Is it a go or no go in Vienna?
Well, I think that just happened.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's not a no go.
You're saying it's a no go?
No go.
I believe it just happened here, didn't it?
Mitchell believes it just happened here.
Oh,
it's in Vienna, though. I don't know about in Cookeville, maybe.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
What?
Yes. Mitchell, what? We're right. You're right.
Yeah, I believe so.
You're right.
No, that's a no-go. That's not going
to... Oh!
I can't give them all away, can I?
All right, we had to cool you
down. I'll
be
in a confessional myself. If I...
Two right, two wrong.
All right. This is it, then. It makes it a little more dramatic, don't you think?
Yes, indeed.
What's left there, Jimmy?
People or science?
People or science? Mitch, it's your turn, isn't it?
No, I just had the last. No, I'm the one who got the confessional.
Okay. Go ahead.
Let's go, people.
People, these kind of survey results. Nearly half of all Americans say Jesus will return by what year? 2012, 2050, or 2525? Zager and Evans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Love it.
What do you think, Mitch?
Nearly
I tell you, Luther, I'm not really sure on that. I mean, I know there's a lot of people talk about the calendar down in...
The Mayan.
Mayans.
If it's coming up, it's 2012.
Yeah.
That's 2012, yeah.
Oh, well, that's a shot in the dark, wouldn't it?
That could be totally unrelated, however, to this.
And that's true.
Okay.
That
could be a little
I'm
too
saying
close.
That's a possibility.
So 2025 would be a good possibility.
There's no 2025.
Oh, well, that's...
Not in the Mayan.
It's not that
Not in the Mayan calendar, anyway. No, 2012, 2050, or 2525.
Well, that's an old song, isn't it?
Yeah, Zager and Evans.
Let's see. 2050 sounds pretty
2050,
good.
2050, yes.
2050, you count,
right? I think so.
That's right, 2050, according to half of all Americans. Whoa, excuse me, I'll get that for
you. Mitchell, will the rigors of high temperatures and global warming get you down? You can express your frustration with a giant inflatable scream based on the famous Edvard Munch painting from On the Wall Productions. Luther, from time immemorial, the most coveted prize of the What Do You Know show, has conferred timeless taste and beauty on the front yards of America, embodied in a pair of fabulously pink plastic flamingos from Pink Ink. And both of you can enjoy the essence of the updated bard on John Seeger's CD, The Shaming of the True, with lyrics by Michael Feldman on the Full Real label, and the ever-popular game of the century, What Do You Know, the Party Game, including the Michael Feldman bobblehead from Out of the Box Publishing, available exclusively at notmuch.com. Congratulations to both of you.
You're free of us, Tom. Thanks, Lucas. Mitchell, hang on just a second. Make sure I get an address from you. Thanks.
What Do You Know travels to the Gallagher Blue Dorn Performing Arts Center in Cedar Falls, Iowa on September 8th. More information, including where to buy tickets, is available at notmuch.com. Our next live shows in Madison are August 11th at the Historic Music Hall on the UW-Madison campus, and we'll be at the Monona Terrace on August 18th when we welcome author and humorist Michael Perry. Tickets at notmuch.com or by calling 608-262-2201. Michael Feldman's What Do You Know is produced at Wisconsin Public Radio for Public Radio International. Michael Feldman, producer, International. Adam Friedrich, producer, with assistance from Michelle Good, Judith Heisey-Kavalik, Lyle Anderson, and Diana Cook. Technical director Tom Blaine, with help from Aubrey Ralph and Brad Kohlberg.
PRI, Public Radio International.